Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This week on Catholic Baltimore, we will take a look at the interfaith pilgrimage that visited Rome and the Vatican March 2nd to 3rd. This is Christopher Gunty, Associate Publisher of the Catholic Review. I traveled with Archbishop William E. Laurie of Baltimore and a group that included other Christian leaders, as well as representatives of the Jewish and Muslim faiths. Accompanying the Archbishop were Imam Earl El Amin of the Muslim Community Cultural Center of Baltimore, Rabbi Stephen M. Fink of Temple Oheb Shalom, Reverend Dr. Alvin C. Hathaway Sr., pastor of Union Baptist Church, Bishop Wolfgang Hertz Lane, Bishop of the Delaware, Maryland Synod, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and Reverend Dr. Frank Reed III, Senior Pastor, Bethel AME Church in Baltimore. Also accompanying the group from the Archdiocese were Bishop Dennis J. Madden, Auxiliary Bishop of Baltimore, Father Don Sterling, Pastor of New All Saints Church, and Bill McCarthy, Jr., Executive Director of Catholic Charities of Baltimore. The purpose of the pilgrimage was to visit Pope Francis and receive his blessing for the work being done between people of faith and by civic leaders to help heal the city from the unrest after the death of Freddie Gray last April. That unrest was not the beginning of the problem in Baltimore. Decades of neglect and systemic poverty led to frustration. Lack of jobs, lack of good educational opportunities, and housing concerns all fuel the problems people in the city face, especially in West Baltimore. The members of the group had a chance to meet Pope Francis at the end of his general audience March 2nd in St. Peter's Square. Under a cloudless blue sky, Archbishop Laurie introduced each interfaith leader to the Pope. Father Don Sterling, pastor of New All Saints Parish on Liberty Heights Avenue, said the papal audience was constructive.
The Holy Father is such a powerful sign of hope. Who's able to give a sense of unity to us all, and that to me is a walking blessing of sorts.
Rabbi Stephen Fink of Temple Oheb Shalom had a similar reaction.
I was really overwhelmed by the humility of Pope Francis, by his validation of every human being with whom he came in contact. He's seeming to live the I-thou relationship in which we see God in every person we touch and with whom we come in contact.
The Pope shares his message with a worldwide audience, but Rabbi Fink said he takes home some ways to share that message with the members of his temple.
Humility, transparency, and simplicity are lessons that I draw from him, and I think we can all learn from that. He's a master communicator, and he does so with that in mind.
The Pope's message of mercy struck a chord with the rabbi.
His message was from the book of Isaiah, which talked about God's love for his people, and that God will always take us back in love, that we're always able to repent and come back to God. And that's one of the most powerful messages in Judaism as it is in Christianity.
Imam Earl El Amin of the Muslim Community Cultural Center of Baltimore met St. John Paul 20 years ago and was impressed by Pope Francis's clear and simple yet profound message.
When I met him when I was about to leave, he said, "Pray for me." He said to me, "Pray for." He said, "Pray for me," and I said, "Well, I want you to pray for me." I thought that was very enlightening and inspiring. It was a beautiful day. You couldn't have scripted this better. Uh-huh. And the only one that could have scripted this is the one that created it all. Perfect blue sky. Yeah. The sun was at a beautiful, beautiful time. Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Bill McCarthy heads up Catholic Charities of Baltimore, one of the largest social service agencies in Maryland, and one of the largest Catholic charities entities in the country. McCarthy presented to Pope Francis an apron commemorating the 35th anniversary of Our Daily Bread, a ministry whose meal program has provided hope to the poor for more than 12,700 consecutive days and with more than 7.2 million meals served. He called the audience with the Pope the highlight of the trip.
Meeting the Holy Father today, talking about our work in West Baltimore, talking about the work of Catholic Charities, but particularly Our Daily Bread in our 35 years, I could see a smile on his face, a firmer handshake, and continue.
For Dr. Frank Reed, senior pastor of Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, this trip was one of the most extraordinary of his 64 years on the planet. He said the group's visit to the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, where the bones of St. Paul rest, and to St. Peter's Basilica, where the first pope is buried, forged a connection between the past, present, and future. He was awestruck when he met Pope Francis.
When I came up to the Pope, I couldn't even look at him because the anointing on him was so strong and yet so peaceful. And as my wife looked at the pictures, she said, "You bowed to him." I said, "I bowed to the Christ in him." And then she said, "You probably didn't see it, but he also bowed to you." In a season where most of the traditional religious faiths are facing intolerance, the Pope is an example of transformational tolerance and love because of mercy. I saw mercy at work, not just a catchphrase for the Jubilee, but I saw it live in him.
Archbishop Laurie said he was a little nervous about introducing the group to the Pope.
The Holy Father presents such a calm and loving presence. He took his time. He looked us all in the eye and squeezed our hands. And in that moment, I said, "You know, we really are among friends. And the Holy Father has come down from the platform to join us as a friend." And I think we all felt his pastoral love. And I think we felt encouraged, and we felt so joyful in his presence. If there's anyone who understands the poor, the disenfranchised, the victims of injustice, it's Pope Francis, and he gave us all such a lift. So I was privileged, I was honored, I was joyful to introduce my colleagues.
The group of interfaith leaders packed a lot into their 48 hours in Rome. They visited the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, where they prayed at the tomb of the Apostle Paul, whose bones have been at the site since around AD 67 or 68. They toured St. Peter's Basilica, where they saw Michelangelo's famous Pietà, the statue that depicts Mary holding her son after he has been taken down from the cross. The group also had a chance to meet with U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, Ken Hackett, a former Baltimore resident who headed up Catholic Relief Services, talked with the group about the situation in Baltimore, as well as global issues, including immigration in Europe. On their second day, they attended the Pope's general audience in St. Peter's Square and greeted Pope Francis individually. Later in the day, they met with Bishop Brian Farrell, who is Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. When we come back after the break, we will hear from those faith leaders about what this pilgrimage to Rome meant for them as collaborators and what they hope their cooperation will bring to Baltimore. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Hundreds converged on Annapolis March 7, standing up for life from conception to natural death and urging lawmakers to do the same. The annual Maryland March for Life, beginning at St. Mary Church and ending at the state capitol, brought testimony from a former manager of a Planned Parenthood location, as well as a wheelchair-using Vietnam veteran who spoke against nationwide efforts to legislate physician-assisted suicide. "This is not aid in dying, this is killing," Wayne Cockfield said. Read more at CatholicReview.org. The Catholic Review's popular e-newsletter is getting a makeover. Beginning this week, the publication will debut a new design and other special features. Receive the latest in local and international Catholic news right to your phone or email inbox. Newsletters will also feature movie reviews, links to blog posts, a calendar of events, and columns from Archbishop Lori, Father Joseph Brainer, and more. Signing up is simple. Just text CR Media to 84576. Again, text CR Media to 84576. All those who sign up by April 30th, along with those who are already subscribed, will be entered in a contest to win a plush stuffed doll of Pope Francis. Two prizes will be awarded. Sign up today. The number of baptized Catholics worldwide has grown at a faster rate than that of the world's population, according to Vatican statistics. Although the number of priests has increased globally, the number has decreased slightly in Europe and Oceania. According to the Vatican's Central Office for Church Statistics, the figures are presented in the Annuario Pontifico 2016, the Vatican Yearbook, and will appear in the Statistical Yearbook of the Church, which gives detailed figures on the Church's workforce, sacramental life, dioceses, and parishes as of December 31, 2014. The number of baptized Catholics reached 1.27 billion, or 17.8% of the global population, the Statistics Office reported March 5. To learn more, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of Catholic Review, this is Christopher Gunty.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the Church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
Welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. This is Chris Gunty. We're talking today about the recent pilgrimage to Rome by Archbishop William E. Lori of Baltimore and a small group of interfaith leaders. They arrived in Rome the morning of March 2nd. One of the reasons behind the trip was the chance for the leaders to grow closer together. Father Don Sterling, pastor of New All Saints Parish on Liberty Heights Avenue, said this trip was different from any of his many visits to Rome and the Vatican.
The very nature of this trip was different than anything I've ever done. And that in itself is good. Mm-hmm. The idea of coming together, coming here, I know it sounds strange to some folks and even conversations before I left, but it makes sense if you understand really the notion of what a real pilgrimage is about. Mm-hmm. And it was that sense and the faith dynamic and the trust that we were able to build and make a living reality for us. I think it's a major blessing.
Bishop Wolfgang Herzlein of the Delaware, Maryland Synod Evangelical Lutheran Church in America says he was tempted to say that building relationships with one another was the primary reason for the trip.
It means that the leaders that are here are getting to know each other much better. And so that will help us as we move forward when we go back home to be working together much more closely than we have even now.
Auxiliary Bishop Dennis Madden said he thought the group accomplished more in their 2 days in Rome than they had with hundreds of hours of meetings here and there in Baltimore. The discussions, he said, were just right.
I think the fact that we all went together to see the Pope, and that, you know, anytime you go to see the Pope alone, it's such a great blessing and it's so good. But doing it as a group, I think, brought us even closer together. And getting the blessing from the Holy Father, I think, was just a tremendous experience. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it sows the seeds for us working together in the future. I think that working together is going to be quite, quite good. And that, I believe, is what will serve the city very well when we collaborate together.
Pastor Al Hathaway of Union Baptist Church said people should be able to look to their faith leaders for wise counsel.
I think this trip and this pilgrimage really establishes the foundation for members in the community to realize that they can come to us for a wise counsel. Second thing that I think it does is that it allows us to identify one or two actions we can take collectively together that can only improve the community. And then the third thing I think is it allows us to mirror to the community what unity is. And I think when the community sees how we congeal together, how we work together, how we pray together, share together, I believe that can only be a good spirit that can come to the people of Baltimore City.
Imam Earl El Amin said spending time with people of other faith traditions has been beneficial.
There is a saying by Muhammad the Prophet is that there are three ways that you know a human being. You live with them, you work with them, and you travel with them. And I think that sums it up for what has occurred for us. We've lived together, we've worked together, and we've traveled together. And we've known each other previously because we worked on various issues and initiatives before. It's not something that just because of the Freddie Gray incident that we just started working together. Baltimore has a long, illustrious history of interfaith dialogue and interfaith initiatives. And so this is part of a continuum, but a much more intense because of the situation and circumstance that occurred last April.
Archbishop Lori said some of the best conversations the group had were at mealtimes, where they deepened their friendship and grew in understanding.
I listened last night, for example, during dinner about a conversation regarding some of the political issues facing our city and our state. And I was edified and amazed at the depth of knowledge of these matters that my colleagues shared. And I was also informed about a lot of things. We shared conversations about common denominational challenges that we are facing. We talked about how we pray every day. We talked about some of the challenges we face in delivering educational and social services, and maybe how we might network a little bit better among ourselves.
In light of the Super Tuesday primaries in the USA the day before, the Archbishop said events surrounding the election were on their mind.
One of the themes that kept coming up in our conversation is how divided our political discourse has become, how uncivil it has become, how pronounced the tendencies are to erect barriers, and how as faith leaders, we're all about building communities based on faith. We're all about building bridges in our own communities, because we have plenty of people in our own faith communities that have all kinds of differences that we try to bridge. But what we kept talking about was our role, united as diverse faith leaders, in building bridges in the larger community, whether that is with the political establishment in our state of Maryland and in our city, or whether that is across denominational lines, across socioeconomic lines, across racial lines and barriers. And that requires, of course, a loving attitude and a listening attitude.
Dr. Frank Reed of Bethel AME Church wants to take the message of cooperation and mercy home to Baltimore.
The purpose, and I saw this while there, the mess that we're in will not become a miracle unless we apply mercy to it. Mercy in our dealing with individuals. Mercy in how we deal with our own selves. Because the scripture says, as you know, we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. In Baltimore, maybe that's why we're killing each other some. We don't love ourselves, so how can we love other people? And so mercy teaches me how to love myself in spite of my weaknesses, so that my weaknesses can be transformed into strength. And isn't that the cross? And so what comes out of this as we go back to West Baltimore is, as you know, we're already talking about establishing meetings so we can put plans together and really do things that show mercy, acts of mercy. And that's what I take out of the trip.
Earl El Amin noted that sometimes it's difficult for the people of Baltimore to experience mercy and justice.
Mercy for people that are outside of the pale of a rightful functioning society, the mercy is for them to become active participants in enhancing their civility, enhancing their how they see themselves as human beings first and foremost. So the mercy that I think God offers us in Baltimore is for us to see ourselves, put our humanity first, and then our ethnicity second. And if we do that, and we're able to do that, then we will see a great, great success in the city of Baltimore.
Archbishop Laurie noted that he has been to Rome many times, but it was a privilege for him to come with this interfaith group because it allowed him to see these holy sites through new eyes and to appreciate them better. The group visited two major Vatican basilicas in one day during this year that the Catholic Church is celebrating as an extraordinary jubilee of mercy.
On both occasions, we walked together through the holy doors, the doors of mercy. And what a beautiful thing, because those doors are there to remind us of God's love for us, of God's love for all humanity, and about our need to be people of mercy and people of reconciliation. And we're here to help reconcile a badly fragmented community. So with all of that in our hearts, to walk through these holy doors was a powerfully moving moment, certainly for me, but I think for all of my friends.
The pilgrimage to Rome for these interfaith leaders began and ended very quickly. The tightly packed 2 days of visiting holy sites and meeting with church leaders was topped off with front row seats at the general audience with Pope Francis, and the opportunity to shake the Pope's hand and ask for his prayers for peace in the city of Baltimore and his blessing on the work they are doing together to heal the city. Exactly how they will work together remains to be seen, but for now, they have built up better cooperation between and among their faith communities and themselves so that they are better positioned to improve Baltimore and all of Maryland. As Archbishop Laurie said, the trip was brief, but he believes the results will be fast-acting and long-lasting. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
This Lent, Catholics in the Archdiocese of Baltimore are invited to participate in a special worldwide initiative of Pope Francis called 24 Hours for the Lord. Parishes throughout the Archdiocese will be offering 24 consecutive hours of Eucharistic adoration, along with extended hours for the Sacrament of Reconciliation, as well as other opportunities for prayer, reflection, and fellowship. The Archdiocese of Baltimore has designated multiple locations to host this special program, designed by Pope Francis and the Vatican to help Catholics throughout the world observe this year of mercy. For a list of parishes participating in 24 Hours for the Lord and more information about the Year of Mercy, visit archbalt.org. That's archbalt.org.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.